At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
You are listening to Blessed and Bossed Up, presented by Anchored Media, an entrepreneurship podcast for Christians all about how to make God the CEO of your business. Get ready to be inspired, challenged, but well-equipped to live and build your destiny His way. Hey guys, welcome to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. First, I want to say thank you so much to everybody who reached out to me, whether it's text, DM, email, telling me how last week's episode, my testimony and transparency really blessed you. If you've been listening to the show long enough, you know I'm pretty private and I don't just come on here and talk about what I'm going through just for the sake of it. But when I do have those type of episodes, it's really because I feel led to. And it's my prayer and my hope that in me being open and vulnerable, that it will bless somebody. So it makes me feel good to know that there are people who were blessed and encouraged by that episode. So thank you so much to everybody who reached out. And I'll keep y'all posted as I navigate my own season of disappointment and process my feelings and all of that. I got some clarity this week that I want to dive into more. But if you don't take anything from last week's episode, my biggest thing that I want to give you is to just, in the midst of all that you're feeling, you're believing in God for something and it didn't work out the way that you thought that it would, to just take all of those real and raw emotions to Him and let Him heal your heart. And that's the space that I'm in. I let my heart break, I'm feeling all the feelings, and I'm also surrendering all the feelings. And the Lord is just putting me back together. And I'm okay with however long that takes. So I'm glad that some of you guys were blessed from it. And now let's get back to business, okay? Specifically, let's get back to the Bible on business. If you are new here, for the last year plus, we have been in the middle of this series called the Bible on Business series. The Lord gave me a revelation last year that there are so many Christian entrepreneurs who are not realizing that the Bible has everything that they need in order to grow their businesses. So many of us are looking at coaches and content, YouTube videos, books, all of these supplemental resources to help us grow on our entrepreneurial journey or to teach us how to grow our businesses. But the Lord wants you to understand that the Bible is enough. And with this series, it is my goal to expose all of the ways in which the Bible gives us practical lessons and teachings that are applicable to our businesses. And so today's episode is no different. We are going to be diving into Acts 17, 22 through 31. I'm going to give some context and then we will read the text and then discuss. So here we are in Acts 17. This is during Paul's second missionary journey. Now, he had just been in Berea, where many people believed, but some hostile Jews from Thessalonica had followed him there, which was causing a lot of tension. And so because all this tension was happening, Paul was then escorted to Athens for safety, while Silas and Timothy had remained back in Berea. While he was waiting in Athens, he began to explore and engage in the city. Now, Athens was the intellectual capital of the ancient world. This was where, the home to Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle. If you are anybody who's into philosophy, if you've ever taken a philosophy class, you know exactly who Plato, Socrates, and Aristotle are. So that kind of gives you some insight into the type of people who were present here. These were people who loved new ideas and constant debate. They were very much so lovers of exercising the mind. There was also a lot of idolatry. there were temples and altars everywhere. So they were worshiping gods like Zeus, Athena, Poseidon. And the people of Athens were also so religiously inclusive that, as we'll see in the text, they had an altar to an unknown god, in quotations, just in case they missed a god in all of their idolatry. So Paul is learning all of this as he's exploring the city. Now, where we're going to land in our text, starting at verse 22, Paul was invited to speak before this elite philosophical council. So this wasn't a street sermon. This wasn't him just preaching to people around him, but this was a high level space where really important matters of philosophy, religion, and ethics were all debated. So think of like the who's who of the town, the deepest, most intellectual individuals. This is where they came and had these debates. And the reason why they invited him in the first place is because they heard him talking about Jesus and the resurrection. And so they were intrigued and invited him into their space so that they can hear more. And that's where we find ourselves in verse 22. And so again, we're going to be reading from Acts 17, starting at verse 22, going to 31. And I'm going to be reading it out of the New Living Translation. It says, "So Paul, standing before the council, addressed them as follows. Men of Athens, I noticed that you are very religious in every way. For as I was walking along, I saw your many shrines, and one of your altars had this inscription on it, to an unknown god. This god, whom you worship without knowing, is the one I'm telling you about. He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath to everything, and he satisfies every need. From one man, he created all the nations throughout the whole earth. He decided beforehand when they should rise and fall, and he determined their boundaries. His purpose was for the nations to seek after God and perhaps feel their way toward him and find him, though he is not far from any of us. For in him we live and move and exist, and some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring. And since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sins and turn to him. For he has set a day for judging the world in justice by the man he has appointed, and he proved to everyone who this is by raising him up from the dead." And obviously, he's talking about Jesus. Now, you may be saying, okay, Tatum, what does this have to do with business? Paul's message is a masterclass of two things that will serve us extremely well as entrepreneurs. Cultural intelligence, for one, and two, contextualizing a message. We did a Bible on Business episode sometime last year, I don't remember when, where I talked about how spreading the good news, the apostles' ministry, and the way in which they went through city to city and converted people over to Christianity, for us as entrepreneurs, is a lot like sales, because you're going and relaying a message to someone and your goal is to convert them over, aka making a sale. So even though they weren't selling anything for money, you're still convincing them to take some type of action, which is essentially the same thing that we're doing as entrepreneurs. We are convincing people that we have the product and service that they need to invest in to solve their problems. So there's a lot to be learned from the apostles, and definitely a lot to be learned from Paul in this particular text. Let's dive deeper into the two strategies that this text highlights, which again is cultural intelligence, number one, and then number two, contextualizing a message. Let's start with cultural intelligence. By definition, cultural intelligence is the ability to recognize, understand, and effectively navigate different cultural norms, values, and behaviors in order to connect and communicate with people from diverse backgrounds. So if we look at this text here, Paul studied the city of Athens. This goes as early as verse 16 up to verse 23. He observed their religious practices and he acknowledged even their altar to an unknown god. He understood their intellectual culture, so he knew that there are philosophers, poets, there are lots of open debates. Intellectual exercise is a part of the norm there, and he didn't dismiss it. He didn't just shoot down everything that they had going on. He worked within it in order to effectively communicate his message. Contextualizing a message, by definition, contextualizing means to present a timeless truth or core message in a way that is relevant, understandable, and compelling to a specific audience that is, listen here, shaped by their cultural, emotional, and intellectual context. It's not just giving your message the way that you want to give it because that's how you want to give it. But when you contextualize a message, you do so in a way that is relevant, understandable, and compelling to a specific audience, again, shaped by their cultural, emotional, and intellectual context. Paul did this in Acts 17 because he didn't just give a Jewish history lesson like he did on previous trips. Instead, he quoted Greek poets because that's who they were idolizing. And so he used their own idols as entry points to reach them. And then he adjusted the delivery to fit the worldview of the people of Athens. And he still preached about repentance and resurrection. He contextualized. He didn't compromise. He was still giving the same message. The way he gave it just changed based upon who he was talking to. Let's go back and look at the specific structure so we could see how this plays out, because I really want you to see that I'm not making this up. So first of all, he started with respect. So if we go to verse 22 and 23, he says, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious." So he acknowledges that they are devoted to false gods nonetheless, but devoted. But he acknowledged that they were devoted without condemning them. And then when he mentions this altar to the unknown God, he uses this as an entry point to introduce the one true living God. Because, I mean, y'all saying that y'all don't know who this God is. So let me tell you who the God is and let's transition that into the core of my message. He revealed the truth in verses 24 and 25. He says, "He is the God who made the world and everything in it. Since he is Lord of heaven and earth, he doesn't live in man-made temples, and human hands can't serve his needs, for he has no needs. He himself gives life and breath into everything and satisfies every need." And then as we go on to verses 26 and 27, he is still revealing the truth about God. Now, he then connects it back to them in verse 28 when he says, "For in him we live and move and exist. And some of your own poets have said, we are his offspring." This is a direct quote from Greek poets, those that they studied and were familiar with. And so Paul here is using culturally familiar language so that he could build that credibility and that connection. Because remember, who he's talking to are the who's who, these elite individuals in this respected place who like to have these deep intellectual debates. So he didn't go in there talking about the Old Testament. He went in there meeting them exactly where they were. In order to build that credibility and connection, he shaped his message in a way that was relevant to them. This episode is brought to you by Indeed. One of the most frustrating aspects of hiring is finding the right person. It takes a long time, and you really want to find the right person quickly so that you can start making the progress that you want to make on your business. If you're in a similar boat and you realize that your business needs to hire somebody yesterday and you want to know how you can find amazing candidates fast, easy, just use Indeed. When it comes to hiring, Indeed is all you need. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs helps you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so that you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. When I was hiring, the process was slow and overwhelming. I wish I had Indeed. There's no need to wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/blessed. Just go to Indeed.com/blessed right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/blessed. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring, Indeed is all you need. This episode is brought to you by IXL. In my household, education is so important, and in summer, there's still no breaks. So whether your child is trying to catch up, stay sharp like we are, or get a head start for the fall, IXL can make learning a seamless part of the summer. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning, whether they're brushing up on math or diving into social studies. It covers math, language arts, science, and social studies from pre-K through 12th grade with content that's engaging, personalized, and yes, actually fun. It's the perfect tool to keep learning going without making it feel like school. I am so excited to get started with IXL. My son is getting ready to go to kindergarten, and one of the tools that his school uses is IXL for Learning. And so we are so excited to dive in this summer to prepare him for the upcoming year. This program will improve your kids' grades. It will work for any of your kids. You save time and you save money, so don't miss out. 1 in 4 students in the U.S. are learning with IXL. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And Blessed and Bossed Up listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com. Visit IXL.com to get the most effective learning platform out there at the best price. But still confronted their idolatry, because we see that in verse 29, where he says, and since this is true, we shouldn't think of God as an idol designed by craftsmen from gold or silver or stone. He called for repentance in verse 30 and 31, where he said God overlooked people's ignorance about these things in earlier times, but now he commands everyone everywhere to repent of their sin and turn to him. So he, again, is not compromising his message at all, but he's shaping it with his cultural intelligence, his cultural understanding. He uses that to then shape this message in a way to where it is relatable and meets these people exactly where they are. And these are the same things that we should be doing in business to meet our consumers exactly where they are. Let's look at this from a business lens, starting with cultural intelligence. So a quick reminder of the definition. CQ, aka cultural intelligence, is the ability to recognize, understand, and effectively navigate different cultural norms, values, and behaviors in order to connect and communicate with people from diverse backgrounds. Here's some examples from real-world businesses. So let's take the YouVersion Bible app that we all use and love. The Bible app is available in over 1,800 languages. So this app is intentionally using culturally relevant reading plans and visual content to be able to connect with their consumer. So they celebrate regional holidays based upon where the person is who opens the app. They discuss different emotional struggles, age group. I mean, if you just go to your Bible app right now and go to plans, there's a little bit of everything for everybody so they can make sure that they are connecting with people exactly where they are. The word of God isn't changing. It's the same Bible. However, they are contextualizing their content so they can meet people that are in different age groups, different cultures, even different spiritual backgrounds while being true to the word. Another example is Starbucks. So Starbucks in the U.S. focuses a lot on productivity, comfort, things like that. But in China, they've adapted their stores to be more group friendly and status driven. So they have like a more luxurious design, bigger tables, premium location. So they're still selling coffee, but they have adapted how they serve their coffee based upon the way that coffee or the role that coffee plays in that particular culture. Make sense? We could even look at McDonald's. McDonald's outside of the U.S. is nothing like McDonald's in the U.S. If you look at their global menus, in India, there's no beef. They serve a potato patty with this special tiki burger that's relevant for that area. In the Philippines, they sell spaghetti and hot dogs. The menu differs greatly than what we see at our local McDonald's. So they're this global brand that has a localized product strategy that is rooted in the differences of the particular culture that their restaurant is in. And it's actually made me think of this show that I've been watching, this reality show, and it's based in Utah. And in this show, so many of the women go to this, I don't even remember the name, this soda bar, where they go and essentially build their own sodas. They start with a sparkling water base and add different flavors and all of these things. It's kind of like a Starbucks, but for soda. And they have these soda bars on literally every corner because the people in this area are Mormons and not supposed to drink. Now, they be drinking, but their religious belief is that they are not supposed to drink. So instead of bars and alcohol-centered beverage locations, you have these soda bars. Now, if there were a bunch of soda bars in other places that were not as religious and didn't have those restrictions, they might not do as well. And so this company is able to strategize on where they're going to build locations, how many locations they're going to build, etc., based upon the culture of any given area. So overall, when you're thinking about this for your business, before marketing or serving a new audience, you really want to do a deep dive into who they are. What do they value? What language do they speak, literally and emotionally? What problems are they trying to solve? By you focusing on cultural intelligence, it allows you to enter into new markets, speak to new customers, and build trust without offending anybody and without being irrelevant. And we'll go a bit deeper into the practical side towards the end of the episode. But now let's look at contextualizing a message. This is the second strategy that was very prevalent in Paul's message. Again, quick definition. Contextualizing means presenting a truth or a core message in a way that is relevant, understandable, and compelling to a specific audience, shaped by their cultural, emotional, and intellectual context. When it comes to your business, when you're contextualizing a message, you don't change your mission or values, but you just change or adjust your method, your tone, maybe your visuals based upon who you're talking to. A brand that's speaking to a corporate woman is going to package their offer differently than one that is talking to stay-at-home moms, even if what they're selling is the same. So an example of this is you may have a wellness brand, and let's say they're selling some type of detox tea. If they're selling it to an audience of fitness people, they might sell it as gut support to enhance performance, something that's speaking to their need to perform better in the gym. If they are selling to moms, they may sell it as a daily reset for your energy and peace, because everybody knows that a lot of times moms don't have a lot of energy. And sometimes things are chaotic depending upon the age of their children. So they'll sell this tea as something that is going to give them that reset and the peace that they're looking for. If they're selling to a faith-based audience, they may use language as like cleansing your temple or something like that, speaking in a more religious type of verbiage in order to reach this more religious and faith-based audience. So it's the same product, just a different context. Let's look at some real-world examples of this too. So first, let's take Nike's Just Do It campaign. So Nike's core message is empowerment through sport. We've seen that consistently throughout all of its messaging, but it changes how this message is expressed based upon the audience. So in the U.S., we see a lot of the ads focus on individual grit, underdog stories. So think like Serena Williams, Colin Kaepernick. But in China, the message emphasizes heavily on community and collective progress because that is in alignment with their cultural values. And even for Muslim women, Nike introduced the pro hijab and ran campaigns that show female athletes in modest attire. So again, same message of empowerment, but it's delivered through the cultural lens of each audience. We could look at the Dove Real Beauty campaign. I really loved this campaign from, you know, a fan standpoint. But this campaign wanted to reframe beauty standards to resonate with different women in different parts of the world who each define beauty differently. So in the U.S. and the U.K., it was focused heavily on body positivity and age, because for whatever reason, we think that our beauty fades as we grow older. And there is always a lot of insecurities about our bodies in the U.S. because of messaging and stuff we don't even have time to get into today. So they focus heavily here in the U.S. and the U.K. on body positivity and age. In India, the same campaign focused on skin tone bias. In Brazil, the campaign focused on curves and confidence in a culture that's known for a very beach-centric lifestyle. So again, message didn't change. The message was celebrating women, real women, just contextualized it based upon the beauty norms that are specific to each culture. Now, let's compare and contrast a little bit, because cultural intelligence and contextualizing a message can be very similar. So I want us to be clear on the differences between the two and what role they play so that you can apply this appropriately in your business. So when we're talking about cultural intelligence, the focus is internal awareness and understanding. Contextualizing the message is the external communication and delivery of that awareness and understanding. The function of cultural intelligence is research, development, observation. So the same way Paul was getting to know the city, he was walking around, seeing what they had going on. This was research, discernment, observation. And then once he went to deliver his message, that was the packaging, the language, the presentation in a way that demonstrated he understood who he was talking to. So cultural intelligence happens before you speak, before you market, before you open your mouth. Contextualizing the message happens when you speak, when you market. So the two go together to make sure that when you are presenting your products or services in whatever platform or space that you're doing so, you're doing it in a way that is relevant, a way that is understanding of who you're talking to, and a way that connects with the people that you're speaking to. And ultimately, this will contribute to the sales, contribute to your bottom line, because that's what the marketing and the messaging and everything is all about when it comes to your business. This is just you doing your due diligence so that when you are in communication with your audience, you are increasing your likelihood of converting them over to a sale. So let's talk about how to do this. Y'all know I hate introducing a concept, talking about something without giving you the practical tools to implement what you're learning. So get a pen and paper. Let's talk about how then you can implement this concept of cultural intelligence and contextualizing the message into your business. The first thing that you do is you use your audience's language. What I don't mean when I say this is appropriating your audience's language. Don't be the, you ever have somebody who's older trying to use young people slang in order to connect? You ever even been to church and they're just trying way too hard to appease the young people? Don't be like that. Don't do that. When I say use your audience's language, what I mean is how do they describe the problem that you're solving? What are the specific words that they're using? What's in their vocabulary? Those are the words that you should be using. If you're a business coach, and let's say you help people launch their businesses, and let's say you want to put out a program that, or you're introducing your program for people to hire you to help them launch their business, and you're doing a lot of content around legal entities and business formation and how to do a business plan and all of that. So you have all the technical vocabulary down pat, and you're naming your products and services things that make sense to you based upon you being the expert. But your audience, when they're looking for solutions, they're not looking for business plan formation or different legal entities. They may simply be Googling, how do I start a business? So that means that you should have content, SEO, videos, something using the exact phrase, how to start a business. If you're a clothing brand and your clothing is relevant to kids that are going back to school, then back to school should be in all of your messaging, because that's what people are looking for. Back to school clothes, back to school deals, back to school XYZ, because that's the time of year. This could also be as simple as, let's say you have a yogurt shop, a frozen yogurt shop. Your particular target audience doesn't call it frozen yogurt. They call it Froyo. So that means when it comes to your marketing and your messaging, you should be using the word Froyo. When it comes to your SEO and everything that's helping your shop get discovered, it should have the word Froyo in it, because that's the vocabulary that your audience is using. They're not saying the whole words frozen yogurt. They just say Froyo. So you should be using that same vocabulary. A way that you could find out what that vocabulary is, you can look at forums. You should follow people in your target audience. When I say forums, I mean things like Quora, Reddit, these various places where people have discussions about any and everything. You should be following people within your target audience. You should be engaging with people within your target audience. One of the best things that you could do in the early stages of your business is to actively engage and consistently engage with your audience. If you start to learn them the way that you know your bestie, your mama, your cousin, the back of your hand, then you will be that much more effective in your marketing strategy, because you will automatically speak their language. The same way if you hang around somebody long enough, y'all start to talk alike. It's the same thing. You want to be around your audience so much to where you know exactly how they speak, how they think, what they feel, because then you'll not only be able to meet their needs, you'll be able to articulate their needs and anticipate their needs. And that's a really sweet spot to be in business, if you can offer your audience something that they need before they realize they need it. That puts you way ahead of the game. But if you're in the early stages of your business and you're trying to figure this whole thing out of how do I speak their same language? How do I take this concept of using their language when I don't know it? Spend as much time with them as possible. That's something I believe benefited me greatly when it came to business, because I knew, especially when it came to Anchored Media, I knew how my audience was looking for podcast content, content on how to create their own shows. I knew where they were going to find it. I knew what they liked and disliked about what they found when they went to search. I knew what they put in the search bar, because we had all of these conversations. So when it came to videos that I would do, or classes that I would do, lessons that I would give, it would speak directly to what they were already talking about, which makes the sales way easier on my part. I just did my due diligence ahead of time to spend time with my target audience, and I suggest that you do the same thing. Now, the second way that you can apply what we are learning today, and we're talking about contextualizing the message and cultural intelligence, that doesn't just apply to individuals, this also applies to specific platforms. So you should have, when it comes to your messaging and marketing, a platform-specific content strategy. So how you show up on Instagram is different than how you show up on TikTok, is different than how you show up on LinkedIn, how you show up on YouTube. How you deliver your message depends on your audience and also the platform. So are you in the marketplace? Are you in a synagogue? Are you in the street corner? Whatever the platform is, a lot of times that also determines the way in which you give your message. So when we think about CQ and contextualizing our messages, we also have to understand the culture and the rules of the platforms that we're on. And then we tailor our communication via our content strategy differently on each of those platforms. If you're an apparel brand on Instagram, you may show lifestyle reels of people wearing your pieces. On TikTok, you may use trends and storytelling to highlight how the brand supports identity or whatever it is you stand for. On LinkedIn, you may speak about the more business side of things of ethical sourcing, maybe your supply chain or pricing transparency, maybe discuss leadership values, etc. On YouTube, you may do some videos showing the quality of the clothes, maybe some behind the scenes on how the clothes are made, maybe highlighting the individuals behind the brand. So you tailor your message based upon the culture of the platform. And in doing that, you're increasing the likelihood of converting those people on those individual platforms into sales. If you go on TikTok with the Instagram approach, it may not work. If you go on YouTube with the LinkedIn approach, it's not going to work. So this is another major way to make sure that you're applying CQ as well as contextualizing your message. And lastly, you can apply these concepts by adapting your offers based upon who it is that you're talking to. So similar to how McDonald's has a global menu where they have items on the menu in different countries that they don't have in the U.S., you can offer different products and services based upon the different target audiences that you have. So let's say that you have a business coaching firm. You may have a group program for moms versus a one-on-one program for corporate professionals. Corporate professionals may need that individualized support to help them, let's say, make that transition from 9-to-5 to entrepreneurship. Stay-at-home moms, a lot of times what they need in addition to the tools to start or grow their businesses is community. So you offer a group program for them so they can get that community feel and be able to network with like-minded people versus that one-on-one, which may feel isolating to that particular demographic. Let's say you have a food company and let's say you sell seasoning blends or something like that. You may have a specific salt-free product that was developed specifically for people with health concerns where some type of salt-free flavoring or seasoning for their food would be really important to them. So whatever your business is, you can, again, adapt your offers in a way in which it is specific to a niche or target audience within your broader consumer base. This could a lot of times increase your bottom line. This could lead to some really fun campaigns. This could lead to you maybe testing some new products or services and taking advantage of some opportunities within your business. You may see an increase in sales by being more specific with your offerings. Like there's so many opportunities of what the outcome could be based on you implementing this approach. I hope that these three ways to apply what we've learned today about cultural intelligence and contextualizing a message have really hit home, really got your wheels turning and thinking about ways in which you could apply this to your own business. I also pray that you are able to see, because that's the point of this whole series, the way in which we can extract so much from the text for our businesses. I mean, this was just such, like I said earlier, such a masterclass in effective communication. Paul did win some souls here. All of them didn't convert over into believers. Some did, some didn't. Some just laughed him out. Some had questions, but he did what he was supposed to do, which was spread the good news. And for our businesses, some people are going to buy, some people aren't. Some people are going to have more questions, but it's our job to make sure when it comes to our marketing, our messaging, our sales tactics, and all the things that we are being as strategic as possible. And Paul left a excellent blueprint on some ways that we can do that through his example here. I'm going to end the episode here. Thank you so much for listening to another episode of the Blessed and Bossed Up podcast. I pray that this blessed you. I pray that this was practical and that you have some homework to do as it relates to your business. I love you guys, and I will see you in the next one.
At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.